get centered on the Lord. Lord, what we hope to take away from this place today is not something that we memorize. It's not a bullet point of doctrine. What we want today is a spiritual change. Lord, what we want is for you to speak to our very existence in ways that our language cannot understand and our minds cannot reason, but the fruit of which will be clear for the whole world to see. We want to become, Lord, a living vessel of your Holy Spirit. So, Jesus, we center ourselves today on you and your cross and the work of salvation, knowing it is a free gift, not one we merit or one we can earn, one that you give lovingly and unconditionally. So today, Lord, let us find you. Lord, let us knock today so that you may open the door of our understanding and enter into our soul. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. See these two paintings right here? Great paintings. What do you see in them? Go ahead, tell us what you see in them. Prayer, somebody said. What else does anybody see in them?
Contemplation.
So says the artist.
A lot of hard work.
Okay, we're here about the Lord today, Thomas. What else? What do you see in that picture today?
Seeking. Separation.
Humbleness.
Alone.
Peace.
Do you see in those paintings today something that you desire? Just be honest with yourself today. Do you see in those paintings, you don't have to say it, you don't have to verbalize it right now, but do you see something in those paintings today that you desire for your life? If you desire something for your life, it's because it's absent from your life. When we want something, it's because we don't have it to begin with. What is it in that painting today that you see that you want? That's the question you should ask yourself as we begin the seminar. Because from what you desire today, God wants to give you. We can walk out of this place today and you can memorize all of the slides and all of the rest of that, and we're going to go through scripture. But that's not really what God wants to do for you today. He wants to go much deeper than that. Much deeper than I or any person can give. He wants to do something inside of you today that's hidden, that's mysterious, that's changing. He wants for you today to leave with what you see in that painting that you desire. So take a moment and look at the paintings again. Lord, I just ask right now that you open our eyes of enlightenment to see, Lord, what it is you have before us and what you have given us, Lord Jesus, in understanding in our heart through this thing we call desire, what it is you want for our life. Let that desire be a barometer and a compass for us for what it is you have purposed for our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's seminar is about absolute abandonment, how to hear from God. We live in a society that is inundated with sensory appeal. Can you imagine Christ walking around the Galilee getting tweets about what John and Paul are doing on the other side of the Galilee? Or can you imagine Christ after he's done preaching on Facebook? We live in a time and age where, yes, technology has advanced the comfort and the circumstances of our life, but it has also increased what we have to absorb and contain in our mind on a daily basis. Our kids are not used to any longer sitting down and listening to a long, lengthy lesson, because at home and in the streets and in their life, their minds are being constantly hit with the flash of lights, constant changing. They're not used to any longer focusing and concentrating over long periods of time. And our focus, a lot of times, even in education, is facts. Answers and facts. Answers and facts. Our tests that we take in order to get into different schools, whether they be professional schools or college itself, are based upon factual knowledge. And so now we give our minds, you know, this constant diet of facts, and we want instant gratification. What's the answer? Questions and answers. Questions and answers. But you see, there's things that exist parallel to this physical life that we live that don't have the same kind of answers and questions. Because there's a spiritual world that exists parallel with this physical world. And the language of that spiritual world is much more hidden than the language of the world we live in. And the problem with the world we live in is we can become so absorbed with the language of the physical life, the material things, that we can completely ignore the necessity to understand the language of the spiritual life. And so, today's seminar is about absolute abandonment. Abandonment from this material world. Next slide. St. John of the Cross, a great mystic of the church who lived in the 16th century, given great gifts from God, wrote, "On a dark night, kindled in love with yearnings, O happy chance, I went forth without being observed, my house now being at rest." He's talking about the soul preparing to be united with God. He's talking about the process that you and I must go through in order to get to that place where we start to understand the language with God. Next slide. He says, "Into this dark night, souls begin to enter when God draws them forth from the state of beginners, which is the state of those that meditate on the spiritual road." Well, you and I are like beginners today. Because many of us are beginners in the spiritual walk. We're not novices. We're not professionals. We're beginners. And he goes on to say, it begins to set them in the state of, which is the state of those that meditate on the spiritual road, and begins to set them in the state of progressives, which is that of those who are already contemplatives. To that end, after passing through it, they may arrive at the state of the perfect, which is that of the divine union of the soul with God. This is the process we want to go through. We want to go from being the aspirant to the professed, so to speak, in a walk with God. We want to go from somebody who's a mere novice to somebody who's a contemplative. Contemplatives are somebody like Sister Helena Kapp, who lives in 104, whose life has been given completely and utterly to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the examples of contemplatives in our life. People that aren't novices. They just have to say one thing to you over a period of 2 or 3 years, and it can change the whole course of your direction in life. Because they understand the mystery of the language that we're talking about, of the spiritual. Now, again, we can leave here today, we can quote scriptures, we can have a great formula, but none of that at all will translate into you understanding the language of the Spirit. God still speaks us today, just like He did in the days of the prophets, just like He did through His Son, Jesus Christ. He still speaks to us today. This isn't just a study of history, friends. It's a study of the now, the here and the now. God does speak to us. But His language is not the language of this world. Christ said to His disciples, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, but not as the world gives." Because peace is a part of that language. You know when you're in a service and all of a sudden God's peace comes over you? There's an abandonment of everything else in your life. You're at rest with God. But it's not a language that I can sit down and give a formula for right now. Has somebody figured out the system of acquiring this peace? Can I see a show of hands? Can somebody sit here today and tell me that they can guarantee me if I follow a certain formula, I'm going to get that peace when I want it? No, you can't. We are in a global society that is increasingly technologically literate and material. And as we advance technologically, we seem to regress spiritually. What's the example of that? Look where the most technological advances are in the Western world. Let's say America today. We have amazing technology, amen? Where, though, is the church, the body of Christ, the most explosive? In the undeveloped world, where they have the least amount of technology. You see, God is not inhibited in those countries by materialism, by all of our plights as man to make our lives more easy and comforted and convenient. That's why the move of God is there. So what's another good example? This sister Jesus came back from Africa. There's a glow in her eyes. Talk to somebody that just comes back from a mission trip. There's a glow in their eyes. There's a spring in their step, right? That you don't have. Because they were there where God was moving in abundance. That's why a church that's based in missions will always be successful. A church that is not will not be successful. Because the first church was all about getting the message out. And today, we've got to recognize that we have to learn from them. A lot of times we go there in our arrogance and say to ourselves, "Oh, we have a lot to offer you. We're going to really teach you what it means to be a Christian." How many people in here have been on missions? Okay, put your hands up. How many people in here today, if they're honest right now, can say that they left the missions feeling like they were given more than they were able to give? Because we were benefactors of the move of the Holy Spirit where we went. We were benefactors. We weren't those that were giving the benefit. We were receiving the benefit. Where are we going to be strengthened from in this church and in America and the rest? We're going to be strengthened when we keep our eyes focused on what God's doing. Not just here, but in abundance abroad. When we have our focus on what's happening with our brothers and sisters, the excitement. I came home, I did a slideshow, some of you were here, of what was going on in Africa. There was great exuberance and excitement in the church after that Sunday. Because we were focused on what God was doing. Now ask yourself, how much of your life in the past week, past month, past year, has been focused on what God is doing in the world? And I don't just mean in the community of the Crucified One in Kenya, but what God is doing in the world. How many of you could sit here today and tell me some awesome stories that have happened in the body of Christ in the last year, outside of your church? Have you put any attention into what God is doing in this world? You see, we have become so isolationist in this country and in our culture. We literally see God as a product of the church that we go to. And He's so much more than that. And we've got to cast our gaze on the Almighty's hand, the evidence of it, which is all around us. I met a man that was Muslim, and he met the Lord 2 years ago, and now he's leading a church in Saudi Arabia, and people, Muslims, are coming to Christ by the dozens there. I've met people after people after people that are doing amazing things. I've been to places in India where some of you that have been with me met a man that was healed of blindness. Real resurrection miracle. And this was recent. God's doing things. He's really doing things. And He's really speaking to us. But we really need to turn our attention back to Him and listen to what He is saying to us. Ignatius was of Antioch, was the bishop of Antioch. And he was a disciple of the Apostle John. And he had seven letters that we know were his, that he wrote to different churches. And what I want to show you in a second here is one of his excerpt from one of his letters, is that the problems that are in our church today are no different than the problems that were in the church from the very beginning of time. Now, let's go to the next slide. Somehow we've jumped to Capernaum. That's the temple in Capernaum in Israel. Maybe Pat's really flown with the Spirit today. You have to understand that we are living in the same dynamics as existed back in the days of the first church. They struggled with the same problems that we struggled, but on a different scale. It's not that history has completely reinvented itself, but history very much resembles itself. And so we resemble the history of the past. Not all the same dynamics, not all the same circumstances, but we resemble very much what happened in the past. And Ignatius was on his way to Rome, and he was actually in bondage from the Roman Empire. He was being sent for a trial, and he was martyred in Rome, just like Paul, for being a Christian. And while he's on his way to Rome, he was, as the bishop of Antioch, he wrote several letters to several churches to encourage them and to ask for prayers. And one of the prayers that he wrote was called the Church of Magnesia. Magnesia was not as developed as Antioch. Ignatius was from Antioch. Anybody know where Antioch was? Where?
The Middle East.
What country?
Turkey.
No. It is now present-day Turkey. But it was part of Syria. And it was the first church that Paul established. So Antioch was a really happening place for the Christian faith and in the world in general, because there was this thing called the Spice Route that connected all the trade between the great Roman Empire and the Persians, and even as far east as the Asians, the Chinese. And all this trade went through this belt that goes across Asia in Europe, okay? It's called the Spice Route. And here's Antioch on one side, and here's all these other port cities on the other side. So Antioch was a bustling metropolis of the day. It was like New York City, LA, London. And people came there and they traded their goods, and so there was this infusion of all these ideas and philosophies and religion. And so you can imagine, if you're a church member in Antioch, you're getting hit with all this stuff going on around you. You're getting hit with all this kind of trade, all this materialism, all these competing ideas. Now, that's not much different than the United States of America today. I'm sorry, but America is a pluralistic society anymore. It is not a monotheistic society. We have many faiths in this country. And we have many significant deviations from the Christian faith that this country was founded on. It's very agnostic. Islam or Eastern faiths, you don't have to go very far. I mean, my God, they might as well just call San Francisco Little India. You know, the idea here is, friends, that we have this concept sometimes of the country that we live in that doesn't exist anymore. We live in a country where, I'm sorry to say, Jesus Christ is no longer the cornerstone of our country and his faith. He's not. And it's growing. If you turn the television on and you listen to Oprah, or you listen to this platform, or you listen to that platform, oh yes, fine, sure, Christ was a good teacher, and I practice his principles. But you do not have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. It defies human reason. If I go to a tribe in Africa and somebody's never heard of Christ, how can I believe that a loving God would actually deprive somebody of his presence without accepting Christ? How many of you have heard that somehow or some way in this country through somebody? Because we live in what's called a pluralistic society, no different than the Church of Antioch. And when you start getting these competing ideas, when you start dealing with materialism, guess what? It eats at your faith. Be honest today with God and yourself. You have struggled with your faith. It's harder to be a Christian in this country than it is to be in a country like Kenya. Because you don't have as many distractions in your faith. Are we getting this working here? Here, let me see. So I want you to see something. Of course, so here is Ignatius. He's traveling to Rome in chains and shackles, ready to lose his life. And what do you think he cares about? Do you think he really cares about his own life? No, if he's a good bishop, he carries about the Christian faith that he knows he's going to leave behind. He carries about the mothers and fathers in Antioch that struggle with their faith. He carries about the children that are yet to grow. Will they be brought up in faith? Will they have an opportunity to know Christ? That's what he cares about. And that's what Christ cares about today with you and I. So this is what he says, and I'll read it to you. He writes, "For I need your united prayer in God and your love, that the church which is in Syria," that's the church in Antioch, his home church, "may be granted refreshment from the dew of your church." He's writing to the church of Magnesia, and he's saying, please pray for my church in Syria, that they may receive the dew of your church. The dew is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And the reason he doesn't come out and say the Holy Spirit is because at this point, the doctrine of the Trinity had not been established. This happens around the second, first century of the church. The doctrine of the Trinity wasn't established until the third century. And so, things weren't addressed in letters as being said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but metaphors were referred to about the Holy Spirit. And what he recognized was that the Holy Spirit was in the Church of Magnesia. And I recognize today that the Holy Spirit is in the church in Kenya. Because just go there. Teresa, is the dew of the Holy Spirit in the church in Kenya? Do you feel it more there than you feel here? So he's saying, please, please, Church of Kenya, pray for us that the dew God has given you graciously will be here as well. Now, we've been blessed with the dew of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we don't have the Holy Spirit here, but we need to wake up and realize that his dew falls in many places, and in some places in abundance. And we should be asking for the prayers of those that have that repository of the dew to fall afresh on us. Okay. Now, the church in Syria was dry. It needed the dew. And Ignatius understood that. So I want to read now from John 16, 7 through 13. I just try to restart it. John 16, 7 through 13. Can I have somebody read? John 16, 7 through 13. Please.
John 16, 7 through 13.
7 through 13.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Okay, I want you to really look and focus now at John 16, 12, where Christ says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. And then he goes on to say that he will, this Holy Spirit will tell you what is yet to come. Why do we want abandonment? Why do we want to understand this language of the Spirit? Because the work is not finished. And because Christ didn't tell us everything in the Holy Scriptures, that's yet to be told to us by his Holy Spirit. You see, look, think about the Bible for a second. Do you think Christ ascended on the Mount of Olives to heaven and he left behind him a copy of the New Testament? Is that what some of your understanding is of the Scriptures? Honestly, is that what you think? That Jesus just left and boom, there's the Bible. Okay, get to business. There was a lot of stuff that went into coming to us having the Bible that we have today. And a lot of faith that they're the right books. Because you can have a lot of arguments that say you should include that book, you should include this book, you should include this book, we don't know who this author is, this one came way after the apostles. You have to have faith that that's God's word. Which tells me something. It tells me that this process of life requires an ongoing conversation with God. That it was not established at the time Christ ascended to heaven. So what does that mean? That the relationship that he has with his church today is an ongoing conversation. Why do you need to learn abandonment? Because you've got to learn what he's got to say. And you can't understand it through a dictionary, through an encyclopedia, through seminary, or anything else. You have to learn to communicate with God. Or you're going nowhere. You're done. Your history, literally, because you can't advance in life. You can't grow. You can't hear. You can't conversate with God, converse with him. Think about that. You're just stagnant water if you can't hear what God has to say. Done. Finito. Stagnant. You might as well just start digging the grave now. But that's why we're here today. because God wants to speak something to your heart, and He wants to get you into hearing Him.
Matthew 24, 24 and 25. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before.
For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Yes, I have told you ahead of time. Okay, now, there's two voices in this world. There's two spiritual voices in this world. And becoming a good listener is becoming a good discerner. You must learn to discern between the voice of the evil one and the voice of Almighty God. If Jesus warns that even the elect can be deceived, don't you think that should throw up some red flags for us? Don't you think that we should consider in that statement the effect that that could have on our lives? How easily it is to become deceived by the enemy, the message of the enemy. How easy it is to fall into the trap of this world. Think about your life today. Think about how much of your time is spent considering yourself, the comfort of your life, and the direct needs of your life, including your family, versus how much time is spent on God's kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all shall be added unto you. How much of your life is really the first of it? First fruits are given to the kingdom of heaven. Let's just be honest with each other. Not a lot. Especially in this society. Especially in this place that we live. It's not a lot. So one of the first things you've got to learn when you want to start to abandon yourself is start to wake up and recognize your priorities. Matthew 24, 43 through 44.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man come.
Okay. We need to communicate with God our Father, because only He knows the time appointed for these great occurrences in our life that Christ is talking about. Christ is saying, watch and pray, but there's a reason He's saying, watch and pray. He says, because there will be a time when the elect could be deceived. There will be a time when there will be either a tribulation, a great reckoning. And I'm not trying to define that today, and I'm not trying to be apocalyptic either, which means that I'm not trying to forecast the end times. But what I'm telling you is there are significant occurrences in every one of our lives that this relates to. And only the Father knows the appointed time. So if that's the case, then does somebody in here speak God? Does somebody know that language? Because no one speaks God. That's why Christ said the Comforter. Because the Holy Spirit is the translator. Just so you can understand this. He translates the speak of God. God speaks, and He speaks through His Holy Spirit to your heart so that you can understand. If you're not growing in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then you can't hear what God has to say. And you can't be watching and waiting and praying on the Lord. But there's only one way to understand and hear the Holy Spirit. That is through the lifting and the magnifying of Jesus Christ in your life. So how much of your life is spent in lifting Christ? How much? How much of your life, the simple routine of your life, is left in lifting up Christ? We don't speak God the Father. We speak human language, and we understand Him through His Holy Spirit. There's many distractions in this world, like the distraction today of not having this prepared. This isn't the game. This is real. It's happening right now. The enemy does not want you to get this. He doesn't want me to teach this. He doesn't want us to learn this. I don't want to leave this place with you today the same. I don't want to leave this place today because you walk out and say, wow, this is great. What an exposition of Scripture. What do you desire? What do you need? The distractions keep you from looking at a simple question that has simple answers from a simple God. What do you desire? What is it that you're looking for in your life? That is the question. Lord, as we prepare to break, free us from the distractions. Lord, let us stop thinking right now about our past, whether it was good or bad. Lord, let us stop worrying about the future, which we have no control over. Lord, take the senses away from us right now. Lord, let us remove ourselves from our physical person. Help our mind to stop and abandon. Lord, we want to abandon everything. Everything, Lord. Everything goes. Let us abandon, Lord, from this world, from everything. In this moment, God is speaking change into some of your hearts. It is a lesson that you can't understand, but will become valuable in your life. Some of you, God's giving a word. It's going to become a song for your life. Some of you are feeling a touch from the Master that you have not felt in a long time. Some of you, God is releasing from oppressiveness. More of you, Lord. We want more of you. We want to just get rid of it all. Nothing but you. Total abandonment, Lord. Listen to what he's saying to you today. Open your eyes. Take a deep breath. Is there anything that somebody wants to share that the Lord spoke to them in that moment? Isn't it amazing just how simple it is? How little effort it takes to communicate with Him. For those of you that felt a communication, it's really what it comes down to. I remember that I was sitting at a table once in Eddie's living room, and I've told the story before, but I was sitting next to Reb Evan. I was 19, and I was worried about how I was going to provide, when I was going to get married, what kind of job I was going to have, how I was going to get through school, all the normal things. But I was really worked up on this particular day. And I didn't say anything to anybody, but she knew abandonment, Reb Ev. And her eyes of discernment pierced through my soul, that gift of God that she had. She took my hand, she said, "Child, don't you know God is so simple?" And my heart melted. I started to cry right there on the spot. And I felt like I let go about 20,000 bags of crap. Because I had made God so complicated. Abandonment is simplicity. God's love is simplicity. It is unconditional. That's as simple as it gets. He just loves. He just loves you. That's it. There's no other explanation. He just loves you. When you stop and you clear yourself, you allow Him to communicate with you. Now we're going to go to lunch. When we come back, we're going to try to have these distractions fixed. But enjoy each other's fellowship. And keep asking yourself, where's the desire? Where's the desire? Take a look at the pictures or something and think to yourself, what do I want? What do I want in that picture? I know what I want out of the picture. I'll tell you right now. I love that scene of Christ sitting there in the Judean hills conversing with His Father. I want to sit there next to Him and hear Him talking with His Father. That's what I want to hear. And I know I can, because He says, when you see Me, you see the Father. That's what I want. I want an experience where I'm there watching the power of the universe have a conversation of love and romance. That's what I want. What do you want? What do you see? That's what you got to ask yourself. Because God wants that for you. He told Micah there's more because there's more desire in his heart that He placed in him. He wants more for him. He wants more for you. Isn't it great and exciting now to open up again that conversation in a way that maybe we lost? Isn't it wonderful to say, wow, I can start anew today. I can start a new friendship today. You know, like a friend that you had when you were young and you haven't talked to him for 15, 20 years, and you get an email and you start talking, how exciting it is because you're opening up that conversation again. That's what God wants for you. It's a new day. It's a new time to have that conversation with Him. Oh man, you're going to learn some great things. Some wonderful things. Lord, bless the food today and the hands that prepared it. Lord, let it renew us, Lord, in body, mind, and spirit. And we come back, Lord Jesus, and prepare our hearts, Lord, to learn more about this conversation with You in abandoning our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.